Bike Share Hawaii's Biki stations open tomorrow, and along with all the excitement, there's also been criticism about the program's pricing structure. A one-time volunteer for the organization says the annual cost is too expensive for low-income people. We heard from Wyatt Gordon yesterday. Today, Bike Share CEO Lori McCarney countered his Civil Beat op-ed with one of her own. We met earlier today, and I asked her how she considers pricing for low-income people who need transportation, not visitor fun.
Even as we started to think about Biki and Bike Share, it was about the low-income population because, as with all of our work, we examine what's going on in other places and see what works and what doesn't. What was disappointing, I think, about the point of view that was expressed was that it wasn't aware of all of the work that had been done. For the past 2.5 years, I've been on board, and I am a student of what works and what doesn't work, and don't just try to take things for granted based on what they look like on the surface. What was found in other markets, in other cities, and there's 60 cities on the mainland that have bike share, is that lowering the price of an annual fee did not help low-income populations. What helped was putting stations where low-income people are, which would typically be the main issue, and then secondarily was needing to collaborate with organizations that serve that population to figure out how you best craft a program that will, in fact, serve them.
As in pay for it?
As in pay for it, or I know there was one place that reduced their price to $5 and there was no take-up on it because that wasn't the issue. The issue was, how does it fit into their life? Is somebody going to subsidize the price for them so price isn't the factor, but was that the main factor? And in so many cases, it wasn't the main factor. It had to do typically with locations. And that's one of the other things we get discussions about is, why is that location where it is? And the locations are in different places. The Biki stops are located to serve people in all situations, whether they're a resident or visitor. Our goal is to expand the network, in fact, and work with the organizations that help the low-income folks and the underprivileged folks to serve them through bike share, through Biki.
There's also been some discussion about taxpayer money and that there were some startup funds that were granted to bike share. And as a nonprofit, is it right to be able to outprice this in the minds of the critics and not necessarily make it consistent even with some of the other cities, despite the fact that obviously here it's going to operate year-round and in other places it only operates for part of the year when a bike would be appropriate?
Well, that's a good question, too, and I think that's not well understood. A bike share system like Biki, which has 100 stations and 1,000 bikes and operates 365 days a year, isn't just about the equipment, it's also about the operations. So let's look at what happens on the mainland typically. Typically what happens is a city will invest multi-millions of dollars and purchase the equipment. And then they will hire a for-profit operator and they will pay that for-profit operator to operate the system. So the city, the taxpayers in general, are paying for the bulk of the cost. Therefore, then the prices can be set without much regard for what the operating costs are. In our situation, we did get a grant of $2 million, $1 million from the city, $1 million from the state, and that's been used for a lot of our planning, getting ready to go, and helping to ramp us up into operations. But it definitely does not cover the bulk of the cost. In our case, then, what we've been able to do is find something that can balance out the grants from the city, the donations from supporters. We have some major supporters and some individual supporters down at the $50 to $1,000 level. The riders, every time somebody rides somebody, then they're contributing to and supporting the system. And then also the cost of the equipment, which our operator is taking the risk on. So for the general taxpayer and for people overall, unlike other cities, we have a focus on being successful, on being efficient, on serving the market, and not placing the burden on taxpayers overall, but letting the system be financially self-sustaining. So the pricing was not based on, well, let's see if we can gouge people. The pricing was basically on, how do we get as many different kinds of people using the system as possible? What are their different entry points? How do they determine if this is right for them? And that's why there are four different price plans, not one plan.
So the $2 million is a grant. Do you have to pay any of that back?
$2 million as a grant was granted to us with the intention of starting up the bike share program. That came out of the feasibility study that was before. We followed along with that. The city did a feasibility study about, first of all, whether Honolulu could support a bike share system. And then it also recommended what kind of structure to set. And the structure was to support a nonprofit and then have the nonprofit hire a third-party operator. And that's exactly what we've done.
For you to be able to expand this and to make it happen for other places in Hawaii, too, that means you have to be making a profit, don't you? Because now you're not going to go back and get another grant. You've already had that feasibility study. You've already had the startup. Now it's really in your and the operator's lap to be able to make the expansion happen, isn't it?
Our objective is not to expand. Our objective is to serve the communities. So I think that it's not like, well, we want to conquer the world with bike share. Bike share doesn't make sense in a lot of places. What we want to do is where there are issues with congestion and parking and mobility, and there's enough factors that are appropriate for bike share, then we want to partner with the local people there to see if we can help.
But there are places in Hawaii that would meet that criteria that go beyond just the Honolulu city core.
It seems like it. I know that we've had different people contact us, and I expect that that will increase after we get going. But again, the evaluation has to be something that makes sense for them because we don't have the ability to fund equipment for everybody, and that's not our goal. Our goal would be then, for example, in Kailua Kona. Kailua Kona launched a bike share system last year, and we started working together because it was like, well, maybe at some point it's going to make sense for people if they want to go to different places in Hawaii. That they would be able to freely use one versus the other and not have to navigate a bunch of different bike share systems. So we want to be collaborative with people and different communities, whether it's Kapolei or Kailua or, you know, wherever, but really just sort of follow along in what they're trying to do and see if there's a way that we can help. For example, we have a local call center here because we really want to be responsive to our riders. But maybe if you're going to start a bike share system in Kailua, you don't want your own call center. Maybe that's something we can help with.
So as you look at that partnership in the future, that will be determined by communities who come to you. But in what's going to be happening starting tomorrow and having people hopefully ride the bike either for a one-time use because it's there and they can do that easily. The tiered program that you have for pricing for people who need it more for transportation than just for fun. Have you had other organizations come to you and say, let me help you with the lower end of this so that this isn't a barrier for someone who needs it, being that they're going to see this potentially in their neighborhood if you've looked at where to put it so that it's approachable to somebody who is needing it for transportation?
The initial reaction I get to the pricing is that's great pricing. That's very affordable compared to the bus, compared to owning a car and parking. It's a very affordable option. And for example, if you use the $15 a month and you ride to and from work every day, let's say 20 days in a month, you're talking about 37 cents a trip. And it's hard for me to feel that that's too expensive. But to answer your question, I've talked to employers about subsidizing the program. We developed our system so that we could actually tailor make our pricing to fit different needs. So for example, if I talk to an employer, let's say it's a hotel in Waikiki, somebody who has a lot of different ranges of employees. Is there a way that they can help us and subsidize the fares for their employees so that they have a special pass, a special pricing plan that's for them? And then if we're talking to an organization that supports low-income people, then we can look for grants. In fact, we have a grant out now, a grant request, and we have a grant and programs manager. And one of the main functions of that position is to go out and find things that will help us serve the communities that we're not serving at the beginning.
So it sounds like in some ways it's almost like having a membership to your club if you happen to belong to a certain organization that's able to negotiate a special deal for its own employees. That might be applicable to that. So there may be opportunities, am I hearing you say, for other employers to come to you and say, hey, this might be good for our group? What
absolutely.
Do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's different for each of the employers. I have some that say, oh, yeah, we subsidize bus passes. This would be a great thing. we saw in Washington, D.C., Capital Bike Share has a lot of companies that subsidize passes for their employees because they're also trying to attract a millennial workforce. And one of the things that you see with millennials is that the expense of a car and the ability to walk around and the ability to use bike share is something that's popular to them that says that this is an organization that better understands me.
Lori McCarney is the CEO of Bike Share Hawaii. She came to the nonprofit after a 40-year career in executive positions in local, national, and international markets. She serves on local boards, raised three sons in Honolulu, and is also an Ironman triathlete. Bike Share Hawaii's Biki stations are in neighborhoods from Chinatown to Diamond Head and open tomorrow.